Due to the length of the sermon text this morning, we ask you to open up your bulletins and follow along. It's found in the middle of your bulletin. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Genesis, chapter 24, verses 36 to 67, the continuing story of Eliezer's search for wife for Isaac. We read God's word. Eliezer now speaking to Bethuel, Rebekah's father, and Laban, Rebekah's brother, and also her mother. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has. Now my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife from my son. And I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. But he said to me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way, and you shall take a wife for my son from my family and from my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my family, for if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath. And this day I came to the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. And it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, and I say to her, please give me a little water from your pitcher to drink. And she says to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. But before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah, coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, please let me drink. And she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give your camels a drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels a drink also. Then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrists. And I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard their words that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. And they rose in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother said, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that she may go. And he said to them, do not hinder me. Since the Lord has prospered my way, send me away so that I may go to my master. So they said, we will call the young woman and ask her personally. And they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands, of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed a man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahai, Roy, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So far, our sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who is the third one in the union of a Christian marriage, who blesses both husband and wife with his forgiving love and powerful word, dear fellow redeemed. As you see from our text this morning and from our scripture reading, our topic this morning is marriage. I'm sure that most of us as Christian parents, when we gave birth to our children, we immediately thank God for that precious gift that he gave to us to raise for him in his word. And no doubt, soon after that, we as parents began to pray that the Lord would lead our children to kind, compassionate, loving Christian spouse as a lifetime partner. We told our children how important a Christian spouse would be in their life. In our Sunday school, in our confirmation classes, we repeatedly tell our children that marriage is a lifetime commitment, and therefore you should enter it seriously. Well, Abraham took marriage seriously. In our text this morning, we see the great lengths to which he went to make sure that his son Isaac had a God-fearing wife and would enter into a godly marriage. 3 years now had passed since Sarah died. Abraham is 140 years old. He wants to make sure before he dies that his son Isaac, who now is 40 years old, would marry a woman who is a believer in the Lord Jehovah. As we read, he did not want Isaac to get involved with the Canaanite women. They were worldly. They were ungodly. They did not know or believe in the Lord Jehovah. Steeped in idolatry, they could not nourish or cherish or share or transmit that saving faith down to the next generation. But nor did the Canaanite women share the common faith of Abraham and Isaac. God had revealed to Abraham that his wrath of condemnation would come upon the Canaanites because of their idolatry. So Abraham comes up with this plan from the Lord to send his oldest, most trusted servant Eliezer back to Haran, the hometown of his family, to find an appropriate, God-fearing wife for his son. Wow. What if you were Eliezer? Abram says, go 500 miles north, my father's house there, and find a wife for my son, a God-fearing Christian wife. What would you do? They didn't have eHarmony back then, or Christian Mingle. They couldn't get an internet and advertise. Well, after Eliezer made the vow with his master, he did ask this question. He said, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? What if I find someone, but she wants to stay there? Can Isaac go to Haran and live there? And Abraham says, no. He trusts the Lord's in control of this, but he says to Eliezer, the Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and spoke to me, swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you'll be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. Abraham knew that Isaac and his family and his family's family would live in Canaan, not in Haran. So being a wealthy man, Abraham loaded up Eliezer with all kinds of goods and gold and jewelry and silver, and he goes on his way. The journey is uneventful, and after probably a month or so and 500 miles later, he comes to the outskirts of Haran, and he stops at the well. Immediately, he lays it in the Lord's hands. He is as faithful as his master Abraham. He prays to the Lord Jehovah and says, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. God's eternal plan to save sinners was involved in finding the right wife for Isaac. And Eliezer was aware of that. That's why he used the word Jehovah in his prayers several times. That's the God of the promise, the God of salvation. Eliezer knew that this woman would be very important because she would be in the line of the Savior, the Messiah who is to come. And only the God of the promise could arrange that. Now, Eliezer didn't tell God how he should do what he did. He just kind of gave him a brief sketch of what he thinks could happen so he would know exactly who the wife was, the woman was, that God had already chosen to be Isaac's wife. And so we hear him again saying to the Lord, "Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, 'Please let down your pitcher that I may drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I will also give you your camels a drink,' let her be the one you have appointed for your servant, Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." What an amazing, confident faith Eliezer has. He knows that God's already chosen someone for Isaac. He's assured of that, and he says, "I don't know who she is, so Lord, you tell me who she is by having this happen." So what does that response to that woman show? Well, it shows that she is friendly, kind, hospitable, willing to serve, and also had physical stamina to feed or to give drink to 10 camels. You know how much camels drink at one time? To go back and forth to the well to water all 10 camels would take quite a long time and a lot of work. What an amazing God we have. Even before Eliezer's even done praying, he sees a young woman coming towards him. He runs to her, meets her, and says, "Please let me drink a little water from your pitcher." She responds, "Drink, my lord." Then she volunteers to water all 10 of his camels. Could it be? Had the Lord already answered his prayer with the very first woman that he spoke to? Eliezer shows his appreciation for her giving him water and the camels, gives her a golden nose ring and golden bracelets, two of them, not cheap jewelry. Well, at the well, the woman met Eliezer's requirements. Now he needs to ask her to find out if she meets Abraham's requirements. Was she a relative of Abraham? And even more importantly, did she know and believe in the Lord Jehovah, and was she looking forward to the coming Messiah? You can imagine the lump in Eliezer's throat, his rapid heartbeat, one of his sweaty palms as he asked the question, "Whose daughter are you?" And the answer she gave was exactly as he had prayed. Now there was no doubt. The Lord had quickly, so quickly, answered his prayer that she, this girl, was the one whom the Lord had chosen from eternity for this calling to be Isaac's wife. And notice what Eliezer does immediately. He falls to the ground and gives thanks to God. He thanks and praises the Lord for as marvelous a display as of his divine providence as you've ever seen in the history of mankind. He was going to an unknown city to seek for an unknown person to meet certain requirements, and the Lord answered his need within minutes of his prayer. What an amazing miracle of his grace. Rebecca runs home, tells her father and her brother about this man. They come out to the well, and they ask him to come and stay at his home. Eliezer tells them the whole story about Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. It sounds like a fairy tale, a Cinderella story. But amazingly, it's all true. It's all directed by God. Bethuel and Laban are convinced. that this is the Lord. Notice how often Eliezer uses the name the Lord, Jehovah, in his story about Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. Abraham's interest was not just finding a wife for his son that would be a believer, but a proper wife directed from God who would be an heir of that covenant promise of the coming Messiah. Bethuel and Laban show that they too know and believe the Lord, Jehovah. Their answer is, in essence, this. This is clearly from Jehovah. There's nothing more to be said. They're happy to know that Rebekah would be in the line of the coming Savior, but they would be sad to see her go. Notice that once again, this faithful servant falls onto the ground and praises his Lord. He then distributes his very wealthy gifts. He gives them gifts for a dowry, a bride price, seeing the promise between the two families, between the son, the brother and the wife, the mother, and also her husband. The next day, Eliezer rises and he says, "Let's go. My job is done. Let's depart." Understandably, the mother and father of Rebekah say, "Wait a minute, not so soon." And they plead for 10 days. But Eliezer, who knows that God answered his prayer so quickly, wants to finish his task also quickly. And he says, "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master." Rebekah shows her confident faith in the Lord Jehovah by saying, "I will go." She knew this man Eliezer for not even one full day. This is the very next day. She didn't have a picture of Isaac. She didn't know much about Isaac, what he really was like. But she had a confident trust in the Lord Jehovah that God had chosen her for this special position of being the wife of Isaac and one in the line of the coming Messiah, giving birth to the promised line of Judah. Do Rebekah's words, "I will go," remind you of some other young virgin, unmarried woman and her words? Remember when Mary was told by the angel that she'd conceive and give birth to a son, Jesus, the Son of God, Emmanuel? She didn't say, "I will go," but Mary responded, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." The Lord quickly wraps up this narrative by having them come home. They're riding home. They're close to Canaan. And Isaac sees the caravan. He runs to meet them. Rebekah comes down, gets off her camel. He sees her. They get married. And we're told that Isaac loved her. And we assume she loved him as well. So, applications can we make to our lives from this amazing Bible lesson? Well, first of all, Abraham, Eliezer, Isaac, Rebekah, Bethuel all submitted themselves to Jehovah's will, not to themselves, their own will. It was clear to Rebekah, to her family, to Isaac, that God had marvelously directed all these events to bring about this most blessed and happy conclusion. So look at yourself and look at the spouse that's sitting next to you. How did you meet? Was it a blind date? Happenstance encounter? Did you know him since he was little? Were you classmates? High school sweethearts? God directed that. God, in his almighty plan, had chosen the spouse, the Christian spouse, to be your spouse before you even were thinking about getting married, and brought it about so that the two of you would be together, loving Christ, serving one another, and serving your Lord and Savior. It may not be as amazing as this story. In the 40 years of my ministry, I often ask, especially premarital classes or even in adult classes, how'd you two meet? And there's been some wild stories of how they got together. Not quite as wild as this. But it's amazing how God brings Christian woman and a Christian man together to be one. Abraham, Isaac, and Eliezer also acted responsibly in the interest for the Lord, not for self. Abraham probably could have gotten greater benefits financially if he would have had Isaac marry maybe a Canaanite princess or Canaanite woman, been less trouble, would have been less time. He could have made a treaty with them. But he was not interested in that. He wanted to do God's will. And God indeed blessed that greatly. So as we as parents pray for our children, as we guide our children to make sure they choose good friends, good activities, as we guide them in their choice of their high school and their college, are these things kept in mind? As we direct them to God's word, do we show them that we have a life too of a willingness to sacrifice our time, our energy, our effort, our money to serve the Lord rather than serving self? And have we consistently been telling our children that Jesus is the one and only Savior who has sacrificed everything for them? And how about you young people? Those of you who are dating or soon will be dating, have you also taken this matter to the Lord in prayer? Asking the Lord to guide you in your dating choices, to guide you in the process of selecting that lifelong mate that the Lord may have in store for you? Have you asked the Lord to give you a discerning heart, that is a heart that is more concerned about the inward beauty of the heart and the Christian character of your boyfriend or girlfriend rather than the beautiful looks or the popularity of that person? Are you praying for a mate who knows Jesus and will be that Christian husband, wife, mother, father, that is as concerned about Jesus and his word as you are? Married life under Christ. That's our theme today. Married life under Christ. Isaac and Rebecca enjoyed that married life under the Messiah, even though they had never met each other before, because they put the Lord's will first in their lives. May we as married couples thank God for the blessing of our Christian spouse. The Lord provided such a beautiful wife or husband to us, to walk with us, to encourage us, to nourish, share our faith with each other, to spread that gospel message to our children, and to encourage them as well to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, so that Jesus and his word can fill our marriage with his love and compassion and forgiveness, understanding, so we too can love and serve our spouses. And may you who hope to someday get married take it to the Lord consistently and continually in prayer, asking him to lead you to seek a Christian spouse, one who knows Jesus as Lord and Savior, one who believes that Jesus did live and die and rise again to give us life and salvation. What tremendous physical and spiritual blessings the Lord has in store for all of those who experience married life under Christ. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.